You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It's a pleasure to welcome to our studios in beautiful downtown Exeter a first-timer, although a first-timer on Conducting Conversations, not a first-timer for a lot of things. I think you'll recognize this man's name. He is the executive director of the Rhode Island International Film Festival, George T. Marshall. Welcome, George.
Glad to be on board.
Nice to have you with us tonight, and we are going to find out everything we want to know about the Rhode Island International Film Festival, and some amazing things are happening. We have breaking news as we record this program to tell you about some fantastic things that are going to be going on, particularly on an event on February 26th. But first, George, why don't you back it up a little bit and tell us about your background and how you got involved with the Rhode Island Film Festival.
Well, actually, the organization started 30 years ago as Flickers, the Newport Film Society. It was an interesting creation in that a lot of us in our community had no access to art and foreign films. And so we started renting movies in 16mm. This is before cable. This is before VHS tapes, long before DVDs and Blu-ray. And when we only had like three TV stations over the air, not on cable. So we started renting films on 16. It was dinner parties. The first film was, I remember this distinctly, Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, and it was a Chinese meal. You can't forget that, and you can't make that one up. And word spread, and the next thing we know, that more and more people are coming for the dinners, and we had to move outside of people's homes because so many people were coming. This is all, you know, it was basically a potluck dinner that people would be involved with. And our first film was at a restaurant down in Newport where we actually had a large meeting of folks and we decided to create the organization. So it was pretty much from the ground up. And the film was Diabolique from France, a 1950s murder mystery. And it did so well that we actually laid the foundation for what would become the organization that exists today. So 30 years later, here we are producing the Rhode Island International Film Festival, Oscar Night America. We have educational programs. We work with most of the colleges around here. We have a lot of outreach. And the fact of the matter is we're one of 65 festivals with the Rhode Island Film Festival that's an Oscar qualifying event. There are about 7,000 film festivals worldwide. Only 65 are accredited by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. It's done on a regional basis. And so we have the New England region. So that's a unique pedigree, and a lot of folks in Rhode Island don't quite know that we actually have something Boston doesn't have.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a great background and what the film festival does and how it started 30 years ago, and you've moved to lots of places. We found we even had a connection where a lot of people that listen to this program know that I'm involved with the Music Mansion in Providence. Oh, yeah. And there you are. You've actually done performances there, right?
That's correct. We actually have had receptions for filmmakers there. We've had concerts because we also produce music programming. Flickers is a very eclectic arts collaborative, and it pretty much reflects the composition of our board. So if we have a writer, we'll do a lot of things that are connected with writing. We did a French-Canadian celebration because our board members were French-Canadian, and it was called the Jubilee Franco-American back in the mid-90s. That was a winner of the Governor's Tourism Award. I say that quizzically because I was shocked. We had over 20,000 people over a four-day period that came to this thing. And that continued for a number of years. But the Music Mansion, we've had concerts. We've actually done recording sessions, too. We had grants that came in for some of our artists to record music, Philip Glass. And we actually share a couple connections and folks that we know, including the Narragansett Bay Chorus.
Well, it's always it's Rhode Island, so there's always someone tied to someone. Well, we're going to have some music this afternoon, this evening, that George brought some CDs, and we'll go to that now and then come back and talk some more and find out more about the event on the 26th. But right now, tell us about the music that we're going to be listening to.
Well, actually, the music you're going to be listening to during the course of this conversation is from a composer named Klaus Badelt from Germany. Klaus, you'll recognize from one of his most famous scores, and that was The Pirates of the Caribbean. Klaus was here a couple years ago where he received an industry award from us for his work in that just basically stood out so much, and he was a young composer. So you're going to be listening to things like The Time Machine, K-19, Widowmaker, and Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right. We'll listen to a couple pieces of that and then be back with more with George T. Marshall and the Rhode Island International Film Festival. great music that we'll hear more of in a few moments. But, George, we want to get right back to Oscar night and explain what that's about and where it's going to be and when it's going to be.
Well, the National Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science has started several years ago a program that could outreach into the community and also help nonprofit organizations raise money. So it would be under the aegis of the Academy. It would tie into the Oscar presentations themselves, and it could be a great boon for organizations to have that mystique of the Oscars. So they came up with a program where you could have a red carpet. They worked with the ABC affiliates that were broadcasting the Oscar programs in each community, and there's actually only 49 across the country that have been sanctioned by the Academy to host these events. So the Academy provides posters. They provide actually the real program book that everybody will get when they walk into the Kodak Theater in California. And in our case, we've been doing it now for 3 years. Our location is the VETS, formerly the Veterans Memorial Auditorium up in Providence. And we have a red carpet event and a dinner program. And then for the general public, we open the doors up. And we have a 40-foot screen, so we'll be showing the thing on high definition this year in that theater. And what a cool place to go and watch the Oscars. With an open bar. So I think, you know, we have two programs with Oscar night. The red carpet, of course, is also live interviews as well. Folks from Channel 6 will be on hand to talk with the folks coming in for the dinner. And the dinner will include Charlie Hall, who's on board as our MC, and Steve Feinberg, who's a close friend of the festival, who's the head of the Rhode Island Film Office, will be our chairman for the evening.
Sounds like a great event, and the Vets in Providence, and as George mentioned, that used to be the Veterans Memorial to all of you over 40, and a beautiful theater as they've fixed it up tremendously. If you haven't been there lately, you should stop in and see. It's wonderful, right next to the Renaissance Hotel and the Temple Restaurant. You can... It's a great place to visit. So that'll be a wonderful night. And there is a website involved that people can get more information. Is that correct? Or that you have?
Yes, actually, people can go on to rifilmfest.org, or I'll simplify it for you, riiff.org, riff.org. That's the acronym for the Rhode Island International Film Festival. But it's right on the front page, and there's a link that'll take you to Oscar night.
All right. We'll find more about that, and we'll repeat some of this information later in the program. But we want to get another piece of music in before the break, so we're going to go back to the Time Traveler and talk about this piece just briefly.
This was before Pirates of the Caribbean, and the film was actually directed by H.G. Wells' grandson. And this piece that you're going to be hearing is called The Time Traveler from The Time Machine, and I think that's a good lead-in.
We'll listen to that and then be back with more of George T. Marshall. We are back on Conducting Conversations, and we're having a very pleasant evening speaking with George T. Marshall from the Rhode Island International Film Festival organization. And we are now going to talk about some of the things that have been produced in Rhode Island that have actually had Academy nominations. I think I've phrased that correctly. Take it away, George.
Close enough. Actually, films that premiered in Rhode Island. Our organization, as I mentioned, is an Academy qualifier. And in the years that we have been part of the Academy affiliation, we've had about 32 nominations. This year is particularly notable because they just announced the Academy Awards that were going to be up for consideration. And five short films that played our festival, in some cases premiered at our festival, are now up for nominations. Not only that, we also have a Rhode Island individual who is up for Best Actress, Viola Davis, who went to Rhode Island College, is from Central Falls, and used to work at Trinity Repertory Company. So it's really notable the fact that we have such a strong year that has a Rhode Island connection. In the case of the Academy Award nominations, from our perspective, these are films that either premiered with us or had actually a world premiere in many cases, or had regional and New England premieres. We get to know most of the filmmakers. We've actually made the nominations available to the Academy. And the fact that we have five films this year is notable because they're mostly international films that draw attention to our state.
Okay, and that's from quite a list. I think you counted up like 33 that...
About 33, and this is the most we've ever had in any one time, five films. And the list I have here actually has nine. We actually had nine that were on the short list, and now it's down to five. But the films include pieces like Terry George, the director of Hotel Rwanda, did a piece called The Shore with Kieran Hines, and he won Best Director with us, and Kieran Hines won Best Actor with us last August. Time Freak, which was a Student Academy Award nominee. Raju, which was shot in India, another student film. The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore, which is out of actually Louisiana. It's a beautiful animated piece. And then Incident in New Baghdad, which we were actually the second festival to run it out of Tribeca, after Tribeca. And the film deals with something that became almost a viral video, dealing with the friendly fire situation in Baghdad during the Iraq War. A very powerful film, and the filmmaker, James Bion, has become a real friend of the festival. It's amazing how social network now has linked everybody together, and you get to know all these folks. And when filmmakers come to our festival, we had 237 last year that registered with us, they bond. They become very close, and they actually keep those affiliations beyond the festival. And that's one of the nice things about the festival. It's a bridge to future endeavors.
All right. We're going to go to a piece of music now that is a little bit different. The first time we were talking about time travel, and now we're going to Widowmaker. And tell us why we're listening to that.
Well, it's called K-19 Widowmaker. It was a film that starred Harrison Ford, and there is a Rhode Island affiliation in that. The actual submarine that was used in the film, or was a Russian sub, ended up in Rhode Island. And for those of you who know the local lore around here, it sunk. they opened the portals, we had a storm, and the thing drowned in the Providence Basin. I don't believe it's there anymore, but the film itself still resounds as a fascinating documentary about men at war, and strong performances by Harrison Ford. So this is Klaus Badelt's music for K-19 Widowmaker.
Thank you.
So listening to this great music, we're not specifically referring to anything. It's just a little bit of interlude for us as we have the opportunity to find out more about the festival. Tell us some more details.
Well, actually, the festival is kind of intriguing because we never thought that it would be as large as it is. It's made the Providence Business News Book of Lists now for umpteen years as one of the top 30 events in Rhode Island. And ironically, it's also one of the top events in New England for the summer tourism market. On top of that, the festival has become the largest festival in New England, not just because of the volume of films that we show over 6 days, which is more than 200. It also is because of the volume of people that come to the festival and to Providence supporting the festival. Now, we also have annexes around the state, so we're showing free films in libraries. We work with a lot of community organizations in the South County area. We work with the courthouse, with the Jamestown Arts Center, and we've actually in the past have worked with the Courthouse Center for the Arts, running films at both locations. Our numbers, more than 29,000 people over the course of a year coming to events that we promote and we create.
A lot of people involved and lots of things to do, which you can get all that information by going to the website, which we'll give you again at the end of the program. We're going to sneak in one more piece of music from K19 The Widowmaker right now before we take a break. Then we'll be back with more of George T. Marshall and the Rhode Island International Film Festival. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We are sitting with George T. Marshall, Rhode Island International Film Festival, finding about all the wonderful things involved with this program. It's been going on for many years. And as we mentioned earlier in the program, we are in Rhode Island, and people are connected to other people, and we find all kinds of ways of stories and intertwining. So I'm sure there's been several over the years involved with the festival.
Yes, it's amazing because of the connectiveness. I mean, for example, when we did the Jubilee Franco-American back in the mid-90s, our vice president at the time actually worked in Landmark Hospital up in Woonsocket, and one of his best friends was a guy known as Docky Farrelly, and his sons just happened to be in the film business, Bobby and Peter Farrelly. So we had been asked to do something at the Stadium Theater, which had been closed for years. It had kind of gotten into bad repute as a porn theater, and then just closed. And so one of the things they wanted to do was revitalize it. And if you've been to Woonsocket, it's a major piece right now. It's a landmark for the community, and it's a beautiful art center, but it wasn't always that way. So in 1997, we started showing some movies there using, and we actually brought a brand new screen for the facility. And then in 98, we ended up premiering, actually the world premiere of There's Something About Mary. And that's through the Farrelly connection, because Docky told his sons that they would be working with our festival. And it was, we were shocked. Bobby came into the theater in 97 for our first opening of the festival. I don't think he'd ever been in the building before, but he promised us that night that the next year that he would be supporting us and that we would be premiering his newest work. We had no idea what it was. It could have been Kingpin 2. We had no idea. And of course, it turned out to be There's Something About Mary, and he was true to his word. It became our premiere, and it actually put our festival on the map very quickly, because everybody was there, all the talent connected with it, except Cameron Diaz, who apparently had stopped speaking to Matt Dillon. So we got sucked into that vortex, and it was amazing, because for years afterwards, we were getting scripts, we were getting short films, all kinds of work that came in saying, can you send this to Bobby or Peter? Now, Bobby, of course, maybe I shouldn't say where he lives. He lives in Massachusetts near the Cape. I'll leave that as nondescript. And brother also has a home in the Cape. But it was a great experience, and it opened the door to a lot of folks coming to the festival over the years. And we've had folks like, Patricia Neal, Julie Andrews. Last year we had Paul Sorvino. And it's been, I'm not going to say a laundry list, but it's been kind of a who's who. And I can tell you, one of the things that I've learned is these folks are just nice people, just really nice people. And they've gone through whatever they've had to for their careers, and they've come out right at the end. You know, the egos and the tantrums. We've never had anyone say, I only want red M&Ms. And a quick story I'll give you. We got to know Stephen Collins really well when he was doing Seventh Heaven, and he brought his directorial debut with him. And it was dealt with an Iraq war situation, someone coming home. He used to hang out in our office for lunch, and we heard so many great stories about him and Anne Margaret and some of the films he was in. And he was just really nice people. That makes it when you discover that, you know, you're sitting in the theater, you're watching a film, and next to you is somebody you've seen on the screen. And they're just like you. And they're there to watch the movies. And that's been a driver for us. It's what we call the lack of a tool factor, that we didn't have people that were kind of jerks. We had really good, nice human beings. And these folks have been in touch with us. Actually, some of them are judges for us. We have about 200 judges throughout the globe that actually adjudicate stuff online for us. And now we're up to, over 4,500 entries that come in for this festival, which is significant. And our rules require 3 judges for every film. So I just got a new film that starred short film with Gerard Depardieu. A new film, part 2 of The Gruffalo, which was an Academy nominee a couple years ago. Helena Bonham Carter is one of the voice actors in this. We get a lot of A-list products. And that's all because Rhode Island has been a hospitable state and inviting people to come back and enjoy an experience that you can't get anywhere else.
Excellent stories, and we all have them. Maybe I'll tell you one of mine in a few minutes. But right now, we're going to get to some music from Pirates of the Caribbean. And the connection there is?
Well, again, Klaus Badelt composed this. This was, frankly, his breakthrough score. And this was The Curse of the Black Pearl. This was the very first Pirates that I personally think was one of the best films that they made in the series. I'm a little prejudiced on this. The themes then were repeated in the other films, but the rest of the music that you heard in the other films were composed by Hans Zimmer, who was a collaborator of Klaus. But this is all Klaus's music that you're going to be listening to.
familiar music to most of us, I'm sure, and we'll go out listening to more music from Pirates as we close off here. But as promised, I have to tell you my quick little story about friendly people in the film industry. I was an extra on Meet Joe Black, along with several hundred other people in Rhode Island, and I originally was cast because my quartet was performing in Newport, and one of the producers heard us singing and thought it would be great if we could sing Happy Birthday at the end of the music to Anthony Hopkins in the movie. As it turns out, my quartet was not able to be there for all the time it took, so I ended up in the film as Anthony Hopkins' business partner and spent a lot of time with him, particularly just standing around in between shots and so forth. And he was a wonderful, wonderful regular guy. Filming three movies at the time, I think he did Grizzly and Zorro and Meet Joe Black all at the same period of time. He would go between sets. So there's an example of just a great guy. And as film goes, I couldn't wait for the debut because there I am beside him in almost every shot. And several times in the movie, for 2 or 3 seconds, you see my shoulder.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, one of my best experiences, or at least the most memorable, and I don't want to say best because that's limiting the other folks that have come in, but we had Ernest Borgnine here a couple of years ago, and he had just turned 91. And the amazing thing about him, he had the handshake of maybe a 40 or 50-year-old. He was such a gentleman, such a nice man, and he was the same age as my father, who had just passed away. So it was very personal because my dad had actually met him they had a memorial to the Indianapolis that my dad was on, and Ernie was in a film about the Indianapolis. So they had actually bonded. So he actually knew who I was, which was quite a thing. I mean, you know, to have him remember that situation. In terms of our event coming up, which I should be talking about and promoting, right, that's February 26th. It'll be at the Vets. We open the doors at 6:30. That's the red carpet, if that's what you want to do, or if you just want to watch the Oscars and actually help us cheer on Viola Davis, who I think is such a treasure for Rhode Island. The doors open for that at 8 o'clock, and the tickets for the open screening of the Oscars in high definition is $10. And we do group rates, and just tell us you know Viola Davis, and we'll give you a reduced rate. The website is rifilmfest.org, and our phone number is 401-861-4445.
Repeat that one more time, website and phone number.
It's rifilmfest.org. And the phone number is 401-861-4445.
Thank you very much for coming in, George. We've had some technical issues in our studio today, to say the least, but George has muddled through with us, and we'll look forward to seeing him again soon, I hope, and we can do this one more time. But right now, we're going to go out listening to more music from Pirates, and thanks, George. Thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having us, and we'll see you at the movies.
See you at the movies. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.